أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Before I start my talk tonight, I would like to ask to address the ladies who continuously talk when I am speaking. I know that those who speak do not listen to me now, but maybe their friends would convey my message to them. And the message is that, what is the reason of you coming here in this majlis? When you come to this majlis and start speaking, you are in disobedience of Allah, because you annoy many people. First of all, you annoy the speaker. Secondly, you annoy those who want to listen. And thirdly, you annoy the organizers of this majlis. And therefore, by coming to this majlis, you are not doing any good. You are not gathering any thawab or reward. You are only annoying, disturbing other people. And this is unfortunately something that you do not pay attention to. And I hope your friends would convey this message to you while you are speaking now. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Last night, I talked about five concrete and tangible elements of faith. Elements of faith with which we can gauge and measure the increase or decrease of our faith. And those five elements were sabr, patience, sidq, truthfulness, qunut, obedience to God, infaq, giving away, sharing what you have with people, and al-istighfaru bil-ashar, having the habit of asking forgiveness early morning, before dawn. These were the five elements of faith. Now, I would like to increase in those elements and add something from the Quran again tonight, but before that, I want to bring something to our attention. You know, we fast, we pray, we do give charity, all these we do in servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This servitude. Why do we do these things? Why do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know that this verse in Surah Dhariyat, all of you have heard about it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا ليعبدون. I have not created jinn and human being but to worship me. And we know the meaning of it, because Allah is not in need of our worship. The meaning is that I have created you so that by worshiping me you find your ultimate perfection. Your destination could be arrived safely by my worship. We are worshiping animals. If we do not worship God, we worship other things. We worship idols. We worship even sometimes our desires. أَفَرَعَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّقَدَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen the one who has taken as his God his desires? So we are worshiping animals. we always tend to worship. If we don't worship God, we don't attain our perfection through that worship. If we worship God, we attain the perfection. So that's why he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose of the creation of jinn and ins, their ultimate destination, their final goal is only achievable by my worship. عُبُودِيَّ لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Now, how does this work? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time commands us? We fast in Ramadan, we go thirsty and hungry, we keep awake at night to supplicate, to do salah, to do prayer. What is the mechanism here? Now listen to this hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, reported from him in Misbah al-Sharia. About this ubudiyyah, servitude. Ubudiyyah is when you offer your service to God, your servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we instructed to constantly worship God until the day we die? وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Yaqeen is death, because when we die, the veils go away from, is removed from before our eyes. That is yaqeen. Worship your God until that yaqeen comes to you. So from the time you can realize yourself until the time of death, you worship God. Why? What is the mechanism of this worship? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intending with that worship from us? Now, Imam alayhi salam says, Al-ubudiyya jawharatun kunhuha ar-rububiyya. This servitude to God is a jewel, or is an element, a very precious element. The depth of it, the reality of it, if you think about it carefully, the reality of it is rububiyyah. Rububiyyah is lordship. Rububiyyah is when Allah is trying to take us with his mercy, with his grace, to the direction that we have to go. This is rububiyyah. He is Rabb, Rabbul Alameen, sustainer, cherisher. He takes everything to go towards his perfection. This is the meaning of Rab, isn't it? Rububiyyah is when you try to guide someone, help someone, direct someone towards what is their direction, what is their goal. This is Rububiyyah. When we say Allah is Rabbul Alameen, it means that first of all, he has created us. Secondly, he sustains us. But it's not only sustaining, it is also giving us the direction, guidance. One of the most important aspects of Rububiyyah is guidance. He guides us. And not only guides us, he takes us through. He accompanies us through this guidance. This is Rububiyyah. Allah wants to take us to himself, wants to take us to his neighborhood. Paradise is neighborhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? And when I say neighborhood, it's not physical neighborhood, because Allah is everywhere. It is becoming so close to him that it is as if you are his neighbors. This is paradise. Don't think that paradise is only gardens like gardens of this world, just more lush and more pleasant. No, it's a totally different life. So he wants to take us there, and to take us there, he is offering his rububiyyah to us. And his rububiyyah is what? Is guiding us, taking our hand, trying to push us towards that direction. This is rububiyyah. The only thing is that because we have free will, there is a position for us that we cannot attain without the free will. You know, angels are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very close. Al-Malaikatul Muqarrabun, isn't it? The angels who are very close to Allah. However, they lack one thing that human beings have. And this has an advantage for them and a disadvantage for them. Some say they don't have free will. Some say they don't have the desires which are in human beings, which make that free will to manifest itself. The angels may have free will, but they don't have desires to manifest that free will. They are pure intelligence. But the human being has the free will and desires through which can manifest that free will. And because of this, there is a position for man which goes beyond angels, if we can attain it. Not that now we are above angels. No, we are not above angels now. But if we are taken through this rububiyyah, if we are taken through this route, if we follow this guidance, then we attain a position which is above the position of the angels. It cannot be attained without what Allah has given us, desires and free will. By having desire and free will, we have an advantage over angels, and we have a disadvantage. The disadvantage is the danger. Danger that we don't want to obey Allah. We want to follow our own desires. This is the danger. But without this danger, we cannot reach that high position. So there is a risk, but this risk is worth it. We are given something that no creature of Allah is given. You know, when Prophet, peace be upon him, went to Mi'raj, all of you have heard this. Jibreel was actually accompanying him and giving him information, direction about the supreme world. Every layer of creation, every dimension, they moved up. Jibreel gave directions, information. The Prophet asked him questions because Jibreel was familiar with that world. Then they reached the position. Jibreel said, Ya Rasulallah, now you go. I have to stay here. Why? You leave me alone at this very moment, in this very close distance with Allah? Of course, we are not talking about physical journey. We are talking about a spiritual journey. He said, if I come one step further, I will be burnt. That is not my position anymore. You go. And amazingly, to the surprise of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he could go. Without that direction, Allah took him. So there is a danger, there is a benefit. And the benefit is so high that it's worth the danger. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates so many human beings, and he doesn't care if human beings do not follow. Because those who follow reach a position which is worth all these side effects. You know, those who go to hell are side effects of creation. They are not the purpose of creation. They are just side effects. Byproducts. When you set up a factory, you have trashes. You set up a factory, for example, for producing cars, and you produce cars. And if the business is good, you produce more and more. But you have trashes, of course, iron, wood, leather, everything, that the trashes that you have to throw away. Those who go to hell are trashes of this factory of human creation. And the rest, of course, when they reach to paradise, that is where Allah has destined for us. Now, we cannot reach that except through servitude and ubudiyyah. worshiping Allah. Don't worry if the fast is long. Don't worry if you don't have time, for example, for other things, if you offer prayers, long prayers and supplications. Don't worry, because you are being taken to a position, a lofty position, which the angels would envy later on. So this ubudiyah that you think you are offering to Allah, you think you are offering your fast, your sincere prayers, your sincere supplication, if you think about it deeply, the reality of it is rububiyah. Allah is taking you. It's not you who's offering anything to Allah. It is Allah who's offering to you his rububiyah to take you to him. Al-ubudiyah jawharatun kunhuha al-rububiyah. This servitude, if you think about its reality, it is rububiyah. Allah is taking you. Last night I said, maybe more explicitly in my Farsi talk, when Allah talks about the believers, as-sabirin, those who are patient, as-sadiqin, those who are truthful, al-qanitin, those who are obedient, obedience with qunut is different from obedience in the sense that it's obedience with humility. You may sometimes obey someone, but because they are powerful, you obey them because you are afraid of them. Qunut is not that. It is you obey them because you think that it is good for you to obey them. You are humble. This is qunut. As is mentioned about Maryam, peace be upon her, وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. She was one of the qanitin. She was so humble that she thought that whatever the Lord says is right and good and she has to do it. This is qunut. Not obedience out of fear. So, patience, truthfulness, qunut, humble obedience, munfiqeen, those who share whatever they have with other people, then it says, wal mustaghfirina bil ashar, and those who offer istighfar, seek forgiveness every night. Every night, because mustaghfir is not someone who does it once or twice. Every night they do it. The question is, if these people are patient, if they are truthful, if they are humbly obedient, if they share whatever they have with people, so what should they ask forgiveness for? Aren't they good enough that they don't need to ask forgiveness? These people are those who have realized their position. They know that whatever they do is not their offering to God, is not them offering anything to God. It is God offering his rububiyah to them. So they become more and more aware of their indebtedness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why they do istighfar. The closer you go to God, more istighfar you offer, more you ask for forgiveness, more you think you are indebted to Allah, until you reach the position of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He was the one who, during the night, as the Quran in Surah Muzammil says, two-thirds of the night, half the night, more or less, was standing, offering gratitude and asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the awareness that ubudiyah, the reality of it is rububiyah. It is God working in your heart. It is not you offering anything to Allah. It is God working in your heart. If you do something good, you should think about it in this way. God has given me the blessing, has favored me, so that I could do this good thing, so that he could take me through this path of rububiyah towards my final goal. Al-ubudiyah jawharatun kunhuha al-rububiyah. Then the Imam alayhi salam said, these two go hand in hand. These two are counterparts to each other. Sometimes you miss something on ubudiyya, on your servitude. Allah compensates for it with his rububiyya. فَمَا فُقِدَ مِنَ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَجَدَ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. If you miss something in ubudiyya, and of course we have shortcomings in our worship, then Allah will compensate with his rububiyya. This is the month for compensation. This is very interesting. This is the month for compensation of our shortcomings in ubudiyya. Allah would want to compensate it with his rububiyya. You have missed all your life closeness to me. You have missed lots of your ubudiyya to me. Don't worry, come on Laylatul Qadr. It is like 1,000 months for you. That's a lifetime, isn't it? 1,000 months is about 83 years, isn't it? I don't think we live more than 83 years. So it's better than 1,000 months. Allah is compensating for us what we have missed in our ubudiyya. Because ubudiyya is very important, it's necessary for us to move to that position, but we miss it. Many a time we miss it. And we have missed it throughout our life. Now we have come to this age, we don't know what should we do. Ya Allah, we spent all our lives. وَقَدْ أَفْنَيْتُ عُمْرِي. This is what Imam Zainul Abidin says in Dua Abu Hamza. What he says is just a reminder for us, isn't it? وَقَدْ أَفْنَيْتُ عُمْرِي فِي شَرَّةِ السَّهْوَ عَنْكَ. I have spent my life in oblivion from you. وَأَبْلَيْتُ شَبَابِي فِي سَكْرَةِ التَّبَاؤُدِ مِنْكَ. In the drunkenness of this world, I have spent my life distance from you. Now, the ubudiyya, I have missed it. Many years of my life, I have missed the ubudiyya. What should I do? Allah will compensate for it with his rububiyya. فَمَا فُقِدَ مِنَ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَجَدَ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. What you have missed in ubudiyya, Allah will compensate for you in rububiyya. So kind, so merciful. He knows our weakness. And there is a world. There is a world in rububiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is unknown to us. We only can explore it by ubudiyya, by servitude. وَمَا خَفِيَ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ أُصِيبَ فِي الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. Whatever is hidden in rububiyya of Allah, you can find it, you can explore it by ubudiyya. This is of course a masterpiece of description of relationship between Allah and human being. The purpose of creation, how we can connect to Allah, how Allah is treating us, how can we explore the world of rububiyya. وَمَا خَفِيَ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ أُصِيبَ فِي الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. The hidden world of rububiyya can be reached, can be tapped into by ubudiyya. So, reading this hadith, we now realize why this month is so blessed, why this month is so important. This is that aspect of rububiyya coming to make up for our missed ubudiyya. That is why it says one salat in this month is equal to 70 salat. One verse of the Quran you recite is equal to 1,000 verses of Quran you recite in other months. Whatever worship you do in this month is magnified. You have heard about the merits of the fast in month of Sha'ban, in month of Rajab, isn't it? Of course. Sha'ban was the month of Prophet. He used to fast all that month. In Rajab, the fast was very, of course, recommended. But I tell you, the whole fast of Rajab and Sha'ban put together, if you do it continuously, is not equal to one day fast of Ramadan. That's why Allah has made it obligatory. Allah doesn't make anything obligatory to us unless it is very, very, very important. Yes, the fast of Sha'ban is very important, but says, I recommend you to do it. The fast of Rajab is very important, but Allah says, I recommend you to do it. But fast of Ramadan says, I command you to do it. When Allah commands something, when He instructs something in an obligatory manner, it means that it is very, very crucial for us. Very important. Allah doesn't want to put us in hardship. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ Allah doesn't want hardship for you. Allah wants ease for you. But this is so important that you have to accept the hardship. I know, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah knows, you don't know. This month is the month of Rububiyyah. This month is the month of whatever was missed from Ubudiyyah to be compensated, to be made up for with Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I read this hadith for you on the first night. That at the time of iftar, at the time of fast break, every month of Ramadan, Allah would release 1,000,000, that is a million, alf, people who have deserved to go to hell, would release them, would save them. I don't say forgive them, because forgiveness gives the meaning that this is something that God is bringing upon us. No, it's something we are bringing upon ourselves. Allah saves us. You see in Dua Joshan al-Kabir that inshallah, in future nights of Qadr we are going to recite, we say, خَلَّسْنَا الْغَوْثِ الْغَوْثِ خَلَّسْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ يَا رَبْ Save us, free us from hell. Because we have gone into it. We have made it for ourselves. You free us, you save us. So, at the end of every day of Ramadan, when we want to break fast, Allah would release 1,000,000. And in every Jummah of Ramadan, from the Maghrib to the following Maghrib, every hour 1,000,000. And at the end of Ramadan, to the number that He has released and forgiven all through Ramadan, He will forgive in the last night of Ramadan. That's why it's very important to keep vigil on the last night of Ramadan as well. So, when Allah talks about sabr, Allah talks about patience, talks about truthfulness, talks about sharing what you have with others, talks about obedience. He wants to take you through this path of Rububiyyah. He doesn't want to burden you with anything. If you think about it, everything that Allah says is good. Only good comes from Him, not evil. Let me tell you a story. I finish my talk with this story. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had a friend whose name was Uthman. Uthman bin Maz'un. He was his friend before Islam. They were friends with each other. Not only friends, they were buddies. They were very close. Because they were very like-minded. Uthman ibn Maz'un, also like the Prophet, avoided the evil, helped the poor, helped the oppressed before, of course, the Prophet was appointed. So he says, we were friends with each other until one day Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me. And said that I am the prophet of God. I bring the message of God to you. Accept the message of God. Well, we were very close friends. It was very difficult for me to say, no, you lie. I didn't want to say that. But I really didn't believe. I did not believe in him. But I said, okay. I said, okay, because we were friends. I didn't want to lose a friend like the prophet, peace be upon him. But my heart couldn't accept what he said, that he is a messenger, he has a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know this, if your heart accepts the mission of prophets, you are blessed. You are blessed by God. You are the brothers of the prophet. You are not the companions of the prophet, but you are the brothers of the prophet. Well, certainly we cannot be companions because we did not meet the prophet. We could not live in his time. Once the prophet was sitting and he said, Allahumma arham ikhwani, as is reported, something like this, Ya Allah, have mercy on my brothers. The companion said, Ya Rasulallah, who are your brothers? Are we not your brothers? He said, no, you are my companions. My brothers are those who come after me. They haven't seen me, but they believe in me. They accept what I say, that I am messenger of God. They accept it. This acceptance is a blessing, and it makes you a brother of the prophet, although you were not companions of the prophet, peace be upon him. And sisters of the prophet as well, the sisters. So he said, no, I did not believe in heart, but I accepted. Until one day we were sitting with the prophet and talking about something, suddenly his attention was diverted away from me. And after a while, he just came back and we started to talk. I said, what happened? What happened? He said, Jibreel came to me and brought some verses from the Quran. Okay, what were those verses? These verses in Surah Nahl. One verse. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil ghurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah instructs you to justice, to benevolence, to share what you have with your relatives, and forbid you from indecent, anything which is indecent, is unseemly, fahsha, munkar, anything that the hearts repel, walbaghi, and transgression, oppressing others, trampling over other people's right. Uthman says, Uthman ibn Maz'un, when I heard this, I said to myself, Uthman, how stupid you are. What is the mission of this man? It's all good. Whatever he instructs you is good. And then the faith went deep into my heart. Now what I wanted to tell you, to tell ourselves, to remind ourselves here, is that whatever is Allah is saying is good. Evil doesn't issue from him. Evil word doesn't issue from him. So why shouldn't we follow? Why shouldn't we go through that rububiyyah? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessings of his rububiyyah in this very month of blessing and forgiveness. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى الطَّاهِرِينَ